This week on the podcast, we celebrate Leicester, we talk fourth place fight, Europa League and relegation battles in the Premier League.
And though Alexander isn't here, I'm going to do my best English accent and see if that works for all of you.
If only he cared about the podcast more than his band.
Oh, tosser.
Yeah, you guys would have gotten a better intro than this.
Not it.
So welcome back to another episode. I'm Mohamed, and as you might have guessed, Alex and Rache are not here, but I've got Bernie.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, you missed last one.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to miss the pod after Europe. But
Yes, that was fun. We recapped all that good stuff. But yeah, Alex is in a band, and Rache is celebrating Mother's Day.
I mean, two things are just unimportant.
Exactly. Really. What could be more important than this?
I mean, a band, your mom.
Yeah, like, this, it's unacceptable.
Absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, you gotta get your priorities right. So yeah, I mean, in the intro, which you saw, we butchered quite a bit, is because Alex usually does it, and you could wonder why couldn't we do it? It's not the same.
No, there's no point trying to recreate something that's already great.
Right? Yes, so. That I agree 100%. So we did say we're going to talk about the Premier League, but just in case you guys are, you know, want to know beforehand, we will talk about Champions League, the other three leagues, TFC, Europa League. There's going to be all the good stuff. But obviously, story of the season, we're going to start with Leicester.
Story of the season, story of sports history, as far as I'm concerned. The most improbable championship victory of all time.
We know exactly what the chances were. They were 5,000 to 1.
Oh my god.
So I mean, you technically, according to the theory, it's not gonna happen in 5,000 years. That's I mean, I the first few days after Chelsea and Spurs drew, where now Leicester were definitely, you know, crowned champions, it still hadn't sunk in. Like, it just, I don't know, it's, you know, one of those, like, people joke on Twitter saying, you know what, I think Leicester are still going to blow this. Like,
yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's hard.
I mean, for the whole season, from September till probably February, March, I mean, every week on this podcast, probably me, was saying, this cannot happen. Yep. I even went to the point, I think, around November, saying they're going to crash out the top four.
Yes.
You know, and it was a miracle, and like you said, it didn't hit me. Not even until, it hit me when I saw Andrea Bocelli singing.
Yes.
Or, like, I almost cried. It was so emotional.
I think you had so many moments during the season where you just tried to show us that they won't win it. There were so many different moments. And then I think when Arsenal scored that late winner against Leicester, Welbeck header at the Emirates, you were like, oh, told you, this is it. This is where it all goes down.
That's what I thought.
But they showed character to come back from that. It was, I mean, they only lost 3 games all season.
Mm-hmm.
Twice to Arsenal and once to Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an unprecedented feat. Like, it's, I don't know, Ranieri. I remember first kind of couple of weeks of the season, we said Ranieri is not a good idea because he doesn't have that relegation battle experience.
Yep.
And we need someone who's going to grind out result, get him the 40 points. Everybody had them in the bottom three. People looked at the squad and said, where are the goals going to come from? And then here we are talking about Leicester as Premier League champions.
I mean, and remember with Ranieri, he just got fired from Greece for losing to the Faroe Islands. What was a glittering managerial career had plummeted.
Yeah.
And there are all these wonderful mini stories within the team, not just Ranieri, but look at Vardy, and everyone has blown to bits the whole non-league to Premier League, almost top scorer in England, and then Riyad Mahrez, the kid who was too skinny to make it in France, but now was Player of the Year. Vardy, Football Writers Player of the Year.
And
Conte. I mean, you've heard the saying, right? 75% of the world is covered by water. The other 25% is covered by Conte.
And it's true. It's absolutely true. People were joking during the medal ceremony at the King Power is that Mahrez was just running around intercepting medals and stuff. Like, he couldn't just stand there on stage and do nothing. And Mahrez is the first African, if you think about it, the first African PFA Player of the Year.
Yeah.
We've had the likes of Essien, Drogba, Eto'o. We've had these
even
guys.
Even
Yaya Touré. And Mahrez is the first one to get it, and well-deserved.
Yes.
And let's not forget that Leicester City didn't scrape this league. They are currently, with a game to go, 10 points ahead. This is 100% deserved.
Absolutely. They deserve everything they got. And on Conte, last thing, when Sir Alex Ferguson tells you that is the player of the year and the best signing. You know that.
You listen.
You know that that is something that they were onto something when they signed this guy.
100%.
I don't know if it was their scouting network or what, but everything Leicester City did this season went correctly.
He changed their season because he didn't start the season with them. When he came in, it completely transformed them in midfield. Him and Drinkwater created such a good midfield, and it worked for them. And you know what? They did it in such a different style than we're used to. First of all, the 4-4-2. Unprecedented. People just play 4-3-3 now because it's what you do, regardless of whether it works for your team or not. The other thing is, they did it with being the 18th in the table for possession, 17th in pass completion. Schmeichel, I was going to say Peter, Schmeichel is the second player after Fabregas for balls into the opposition's half.
That's incredible.
Your keeper. Like, can you, it just
that,
shows you.
That is mind-blowing.
That is a great stat. That is a great stat. And they only lost 3 games, like we said. And you know what? Credit to them. We saw their celebration in Vardy's kitchen when Spurs drew to... We could talk about this game a little bit, actually. The Chelsea-Spurs game. I thought it was the best game of the season. I enjoyed it completely. Chelsea were playing with so much pride to try and... Obviously, no one wants their neighbors winning the league. Or at least, you know, keeping their hopes up in Stamford Bridge. And they did it. They played so well. Hazard came back out of, you know, his long sleep dormancy and scored a goal.
I didn't think that rivalry was that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, there were eye gouges and hitting hit the floor. And Costa obviously tried to get in there. I mean, there was a lot riding on this. And from a Tottenham point of view, they needed to win this game, obviously, to keep the pressure on Leicester. No one really thought that they were going to do it. And it's like, if Chelsea had this type of motivation most of the season, who knows where they could have been.
I agree. And the thing with Spurs is they did go ahead twice. Did they, or were they 2-0 up? No, they were actually 2-0 up. They were 2-0 up.
They
Kane
were in control
scored.
Of this game.
They were definitely in control. And it was weird to see Spurs give up a 2-goal lead because they were, off season, the reason they're here is that they're defensively solid.
Yes.
Dyer in defensive mid, and then you have Alderweireld and Vertonghen in center back. And they usually would not let this happen. This is something Everton would do, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think the pressure got to them a little bit, and Chelsea made the game so physical. Spurs should not have kind of gotten sucked into that kind of game. They should have just let Chelsea do their thing. You're 2-0 up, hold the ball, and just see the game through.
It's a little bit of a composure of champions that they lacked that Leicester City seemed to actually possess.
Yes.
And it's funny, just to go a little bit back to Leicester City, if you look at the makeup of that team of Leicester City, you don't expect that amongst them because they're actually a bunch of rejects.
Yep.
If you look at even Robert Huth, rejected by Chelsea.
Danny Simpson, Drinkwater.
You know, these are players who were not wanted. Meanwhile, on Tottenham's side, you have a bunch of established stars.
No, agreed.
And they bottled it. I mean, well, let me not say they bottled it. They didn't have it to bottle it.
Right,
but
right.
They didn't show enough composure when they needed to take advantage.
I agree that it's hard to say they bottled it because that would assume that Leicester don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So because Leicester deserve it, you can't really say Spurs bottled
Absolutely.
It. But they should have taken it as far as possible, which is basically until the last game of the season, Leicester win their last game and Leicester win the league, fine. But they should have, you know, there's the game against Arsenal, where they were 2-1 up against 10-man Arsenal and they let that 2-2 come in. That was another pivotal point, like 2 points that they dropped.
That's another perfect storm.
Hmm.
Because we're talking about potentially Tottenham bottling it, which I think we agree that they didn't have it to bottle it, but they could have taken that opportunity. There is a team, for me, that maybe didn't bottle the trophy itself, but bottled the season and the opportunity, and that is Arsenal.
Oh, 100%.
I cannot believe this. Again, for Leicester to win this league by 10 points, it shows that not just Arsenal, United, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, the established big teams completely made a muck of the season, but Arsenal have been the story for 12 years of not winning this league. Not doing enough. And it was supposed to all come together this season.
This was
supposed to be their best team.
It's our year.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Arsenal, obviously definitely bottling this season. But also City. If you remember City's form in the first 7 games or so of the season when De Bruyne was on fire and they looked like, that's it. They're going to go on and win this league, like, for sure. They were even more favorites than Arsenal at that point. And then it changed around when City dropped and Arsenal looked much better. But I thought City would go on and absolutely dominate this league And they didn't. I don't know what happened.
I think they were most people's picks early on to win the Premier League. But clearly there was something wrong there. And I personally think the thing that was mainly wrong was center midfield. Mm. I think we hear a lot of things about the defense without Kompany. But I think with a little bit more protection and a little bit more class and just plain desire.
Well, a little more interest from Yaya.
Yeah, because Yaya Touré has been a disgrace.
He's walking around.
If he's there when Pep Guardiola is manager, I don't care how good Pep Guardiola is. Nothing will happen for him as long as Yaya Touré is still in that
no
team.
No chance. Let me just get back really quickly to Leicester before we move on from them. A few more stats on their amazing season. So they won the league on 77 points. Mm-hmm. Which is the lowest since the 96-97 year, which shows us exactly your point, which is as good as they've been, everybody else bottled it. Because them to win the league with the lowest points tally in, 20 years, that shows a lot about the league in general this season. The other thing is Andy King, credit to him, he has won all leagues with the same club with Leicester. So League One, Championship, Premier League.
They should build a statue to Andy King Power.
And he played well when he came in. Every time
he got the assist for Vardy. Exactly. He did his job.
And then Vardy, speaking of, broke the record of 11 goals in a row. You remember during the season, that was a story.
Yes.
Like, forget Leicester going to win the league or not. Everybody just stopped, basically forgot about their own team and just watched Vardy game in, game out, trying to get that record. It was a really nice kind of time of the league. And the last most interesting stat, definitely, is that Leicester are Premier League champions.
Absolutely.
That is the stat that matters.
It's something that I remember when I was watching the video of the guy carving the names.
Mm.
And you look at the illustrious names and you see Leicester, you think to yourself, wow, it's a heartwarming story. And everyone supported them.
And other than Spurs fans, really, and even now, I'm sure they're over it, everybody's happy for Leicester. No one is unhappy for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to City Arsenal, the two butlers, really, of the season. They did play each other for what everyone thought when they looked at the fixtures was going to be the title decider in May. So Arsenal versus City, the two favorites going into the season, and they're going to, battle it out here for first today, today when they played. But it wasn't. It was another fight for fourth place for Arsenal, trying to get third, and, Arsenal played quite bad. City, I think, deserved to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Arsene Wenger started really weirdly without Coquelin. I don't know why, because Coquelin's the only one that tries to get the ball in the Arsenal squad.
Against the defense a midfield that typically is not interested, I would think he needs some energy in there.
Yeah, you need energy. Elneny wasn't good enough as a holder. Elneny won player of the month 2 months in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Fully deserved, but that is in that second box-to-box position because he's all about the pass completion, the transitioning from defense to attack. But he's not going to run around chasing people in the deepest role in midfield, especially when he has Ramsey next to him, who, one, doesn't want to tackle, and two, is all the way up the field most of the time. So, that wasn't a great start. City looked fantastic for the first 10 minutes or so. Navas looked world-class.
Which is a problem.
Which is a huge problem.
If Jesus Navas looks like, Antoine Neymar. Griezmann, then you have a very, very big problem.
Yes, and Arsenal do have a very, very big problem, and they went down a goal. Luckily, very quickly, Giroud scored from a corner. His first one in 15 games. So, Arsenal's main striker hasn't scored in 15 games.
Which means you won't buy a striker in the summer.
No, Giroud's... Arsene Wenger after the game said Giroud on his day can be the best striker in the world.
He did not say that.
He did.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
No.
This isn't the craziest thing he said this season. He said crazy stuff, all right?
No, that's insane. I'm sorry, that's insane.
And then De Bruyne, which I think is City's best player, scored to take them to 2-1. And at that point, he thought Arsenal aren't going to come back again. City should really see this out, have third place all wrapped up, everything in their hand. But Sanchez came back with a really, really nice goal off that Giroud flick.
There are some interesting storylines at play here. And I think this particular game, obviously we know that these two teams are fighting for, the third and fourth spot.
Yeah.
Which actually is not going to be in doubt whether Liverpool win the Europa League or not.
That's true.
The interesting point of view is you just don't want to have that last qualifier.
Yeah.
So you want to finish third. Yeah. So I think there was a lot at stake. There was more at stake for Man City in this game because loss or a draw in this match puts, in fact, now fourth spot technically is in the hands of Manchester United. Along with Manchester United win their next two games, they will finish fourth.
100%. United play West Ham away and Bournemouth at home, I believe. Yes, West Ham away could be tough because West Ham are, you know, if they beat United, they're going to be only 1 point behind them. So there is a bit to play. West Ham also want to get into Europa. They're currently sitting in seventh. Mm-hmm. Sixth gets you into Europa League and they want to push for that. Fine. So, you know, City could still scrape fourth. That's, you know, it's not all over, but it's not in their hands, as you said. The other storyline is Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola would come into... I don't think he knows what the Europa League is. So imagine Pep joining City and taking them into the Europa League.
Twitter would be ablaze with jokes. In fact, it already is.
Yes.
Ablaze
with jokes. I don't know. I don't know how he'd feel about that. It's
The thing for me about this is... And it's kind of what I know we debate this all the time. It's what I was trying to allude to. I think that in this particular role... is very different from the last two that Pep Guardiola has had. I think Barcelona, you take it as an isolated, special, special moment in history.
Right.
That 4-year stretch. Then Bayern Munich, to me, was a continuation of what was already there. He brought in a couple of players like Thiago Alcantara.
Well, some of them failed badly. Götze didn't do anything.
Götze hasn't done anything. Lewandowski, I think, has been a success. But I think there could have been even more success for Lewandowski. But overall, I don't think that anything really epic happened at Bayern Munich for me to suggest that if Heynckes was still here, that
they wouldn't
have that outcome already.
Right.
But sure, he changed the style of play and whatever else. Man City, to me, is going to be Pep Guardiola's first real serious job. And I mean it in the sense of he has to change everything.
I agree 100%. When Pep took the job, I thought, I hope he knows. I mean, I'm sure he knows because he's a man that does his homework.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope he knows how hard this is going to be. It's not going to be easy. Their squad is aging. He has the egos to deal with, the Yayas and them. I think he has to let them go. He has to rebuild, basically, the squad. The fullbacks, they're not good enough. I'm sorry. They're not Pep fullbacks. They're Clichy and Sanya. It's not going to work out.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's already thinking, everybody thinks Joe Hart is good enough. We've already heard rumors of him wanting to replace the keeper. That's his standard. And City are well below Pep standards. He has a lot of work to
and
do.
And if you look at it, right, if you just look at kind of the number of players that have to move, like, we're talking about both fullbacks.
Because
even Kolarov off the bench, to me, is not good enough.
No.
And then Kompany is just, I think he's a good player on
his
game.
He's injured again.
But you cannot rely on Vincent Kompany's injury record.
Nope.
So you have to replace the center back. Because for me, Mangala and Otamendi,
nope.
Maybe it's not, I don't know if it's a matter of them being good enough, but they're not Pep players. They're not ball-playing center backs. So he's going to want someone in. Yeah. There are already rumors of Stones. Whether he's good enough, I don't know. But the idea is, that's four defenders he has to bring in already.
Fernando's not going to touch a ball under Pep.
Nope.
Forget about that. Yaya Touré is disinterested. He's leaving. PSG or whoever wants him. And Aguero, with his injury record, isn't the best either. He'll need another... Boney, good luck trying to play with Boney.
So we could be talking about seven players that have to come in to replace players that leave. And then he needs depth, because they don't have depth at all.
I don't think he's going to win the league in his first season. I really don't. I think it's more like a 3-year thing. And I think if by his third year, I mean, people will start calling for, like, saying he's a failure second year and if he doesn't win the league. But I think if by the end of the third year he wins the league once and maybe the Champions League's last semifinals like they did this year, I think that's acceptable.
I agree with you on that. I do not believe that he's going to win the league in his first year. Not because he's not a talented manager. I think there's too much to do.
And the league is tough. This is not Bayern blazing through the Bundesliga or Barca back in the day. There's going to be a lot of competition.
I mean, you don't have Lionel Messi.
No.
You don't have Xavi. You don't have Iniesta. I know he brought in Busquets, but he didn't have that great turnover. But the other thing for Pep Guardiola, in my opinion, that's going to do him a bit of a problem is the fact that Man City made the Champions League this semifinal this season. Sure, they were a crap team, but Barcelona are not going to keep messing up like this in Champions League again. And that's the spot that they, in essence, effectively took.
I think it's a double-edged sword. One is, if he does badly, he does badly. But if he somehow nicks a Champions League in the next 2 years with City, I think that cements him as God when it comes to managers.
Absolutely.
Like, it's really could take him both ways. And I think he's relishing that. Then he wins the Champions League with City and it's conversations over.
I think in order for that to happen, for that God status to happen, it has to happen quickly.
Right.
Because if he builds this team over the course of 5 years, let's say, and then they win a Champions League, so what? Who cares? Anyone can say if you gave Mourinho that money, he would do the same thing. In fact, he did it. Mourinho was actually the antithesis of Pep in that he's done it under harder circumstances.
Right.
With Inter Milan, with Porto. So you can already say he's done that. So If he does it in 2 years or so, yeah. God status.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah,
I agree. No problem.
Before moving on from this game, a few things. Welbeck got injured like 20 minutes in. That's his knee, possibly an ACL. Could be out of the Euros. So, you know, there's that. Wilshere subbed back on after a year out. So that was good to see. The one thing that I didn't like about this game is, and in general from City, is their disrespect for Pellegrini. The guy has been a great servant for the club. He's won them a league title. He got him into the Champions League semifinals this year. They, you know, lost the semifinal by one goal. Sure, they looked like disgusting, but whatever. Only 5,000 people stayed behind for his farewell speech out of however that stadium took. It was packed for the game, and then everybody walked out. You couldn't sit behind and just hear the guy say something and then walk out? Like, I'm quite upset at that. Like, football has come to this point where people are just disrespecting and just, they don't care anymore. They want fast results. Yeah. And there was no one in the stands, and he's standing there talking to who? Nobody.
It's not only is it a football problem, but it's a Manchester City problem.
Right.
Because they don't have, and I'm not trying to knock them, even though this is what it's going to sound like. This is a team that in Champions League group stage nights have 15,000 seats available at the Etihad. They don't have this grandiose sense of footballing tradition, right, even though they claim to be the only team in Manchester. But that would not happen at Old Trafford. It wouldn't even happen at Anfield. It wouldn't happen at St. James's Park.
No way.
They need to step it up because they have this new sense of entitlement that, yes, in my opinion, has come about because of Sheikh Mansour. Great for them.
But that part of that entitlement is a league that Pellegrini won for them.
Like, yes.
He's been part of that entitlement.
A league he won, a Capital One Cup he won.
Champions League semi-final.
Like, he's done a very, very good job.
I feel bad for Pellegrini too. First, the way he got, sacked midway. Like, everybody knew Pep was coming. He came out, said it. Pep came out, said it. That was disrespectful, first of all.
They may have thought that maybe he'll have a Bayern Munich effect and then we'll win the treble.
Get out of here. Anyway, so moving on from that, third and fourth, any predictions before we go to the Europa League spots? I mean, I think Arsenal are now sealed third because they've got Villa to go. I mean, Arsenal, for all I know, could still finish second above Tottenham. What a day that would be. But for City, United, /West Hamish, Southampton.
Okay, this might be a good segue to talk about United.
Yeah.
The thing is, I have a very hard time predicting Manchester United this season. Although, in the last 10 games or so, I think they've won almost all of them and only lost to Spurs.
Including getting to the FA Cup final.
Exactly. So it's like, really, you make this hard for me right now.
Yes.
Because they did beat West Ham in the FA Cup.
Yes.
So, and that was away from home. So they have done that.
West Ham have been in quite a bad run of form too.
Yes.
They lost to Swansea like 3 or 4-1. They don't look that good. But I know what you mean. The status quo is that United, at any moment, can have the weirdest, worst game ever and lose. Fine. But
then City can do the exact same thing.
Yes.
And that is why my heart tells me, obviously, for obvious reasons, that United will end up fourth, and Van Gaal will end up the manager next season.
And FA Cup winner.
But somehow, I feel like the football gods have Pep Guardiola's best interests at heart, and City will squeak it. I think United and West Ham may end, well, if it ends in a draw, is it
then
still...
Then it's back in City's hands.
It's still in City's hands?
Yeah. You guys have to win the two games.
That's the problem. I don't think we can win those two games.
I think you might draw West Ham. I think that's where it might fall apart. But City also need to win their game.
Do you know
who
City's last game?
Nah, I don't. But I know United play Bournemouth. I think that's a win. That's fine if you really need to get the win. Anyways, we'll see how that goes. Europa League, though. So if it's not United, then it's City. If it's not City, then it's United. But there's also one more spot. There's Southampton, Liverpool, or West Ham. This is why West Ham have a lot to play for. They could still make the Europa League. Liverpool could still make the Europa League. They don't care if they win, obviously, the Europa League to get in the Champions League. Southampton, they just beat Tottenham 2-1 this weekend.
Mm.
They are definitely cementing their spot in that Europa League place, and they deserve it. They've had a good season. Koeman has had a good season. So it's not over yet. There's still so much to play for come the last weekend.
I absolutely have to give Ronald Koeman a lot of credit, because if I remember this correctly, he's done better than Pochettino did at Southampton, and Pochettino got the Tottenham job. I personally think that Pochettino's a better manager than Koeman, but he needs to start getting the recognition, maybe from clubs a slightly higher level than Southampton, because of his performance.
Being someone that follows a lot of Arsenal news, obviously, I'll tell you, he gets that recognition from a lot of Arsenal people in the form that they say he is a candidate to take over from Wenger.
Mm-hmm.
People like the idea of Koeman, possibly Bergkamp as an assistant. Because
he's a little bit hipster and Dutch?
Yes. Yes, okay. With Bergkamp as an assistant for a few years, then Bergkamp take over. This is people's like large, long-term
plan. This is your Van Gaal and Ryan Giggs.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So people are giving credit in that form. They're saying he is a possibility to replace. You know, if we're not going to go for a huge name in the Simeone that I want or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, Koeman is the nice middle ground. His signings are good, blah, blah, blah. We'll see.
Interesting.
It's
very
interesting. It is interesting. Speaking of Europa League, we could talk about Liverpool right now. They're in the final. You know what? Credit to Klopp for getting all the way here, beating Dortmund in that epic game, and then beating Villarreal, who, again, both times coming from behind in both legs. And now they're in the Europa League final. So, I don't know. If they win it, they get into the Champions League, and they have a more successful season than City and Arsenal. They're in the Champions League, mm-hmm. and they've won a European competition. So, it's still, you know, it still could be a very, very good season, seeing that it's not really fully his season.
For me, I don't like Liverpool, but I have to say I'm a very big Jurgen Klopp fan. And I remember saying to a bunch of people that the Europa League is important. I don't care anyone tells me about this whole, it takes away from your season. You play whatever competition you're in, you play it to win it. And you can see that Liverpool, yes, they have used a lot of resources and their league form has been a little bit patchy. I don't believe it's due to the Europa League at all.
I dare you to tell a Sevilla fan that the Europa League is not important.
This is my point. Sevilla have made it to the Champions League two years in a row solely on the basis of winning this tournament.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of English teams should look at Liverpool right now.
Definitely. Because
they're going to have absolute euphoria if they can win this. And they're going to be in a Champions League making a lot of money.
Like I said, Liverpool. If Liverpool win the Europa League and then through that make it to the Champions League, they have had a more, on paper, a more successful season than Arsenal, City and Tottenham.
I agree.
Like, fine. Obviously, there's other stuff to take into account, like growth and how well they've played, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But on paper, it's a much better season from Liverpool.
I agree. And the great thing about the Europa League now is there was a point in time in the 90s when the UEFA Cup was actually a big deal.
Yeah.
And the Champions League was what it was, but even the Cup Winners' Cup at one point was a big deal. But we lost that when we went only to the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
The first couple of years of Europa League, no one cared. But I see it in the last couple of years, there are big teams in this tournament.
I agree.
Look who they took out. They took out Manchester United, they took out Dortmund, Villarreal, now they face two-time champions Sevilla. If they win this, they deserve it categorically.
Yeah, this is a tough route to take. And, I mean, in the last 2 to 3 seasons, we've seen two competitions revivals. We've seen the FA Cup come mm-hmm. back into importance, mm-hmm. and we've seen the Europa League. And it's nice to have more than just the Champions League and the Premier League over.
It's kind of from a Premier League standpoint where
coefficient, bruv!
Exactly. This is great. And even the FA Cup that you're talking about, you saw Arsenal win it back-to-back.
Yep.
And that was very, very important for, let's say, confidence at the club, for Wenger staying and all that. And now you have Manchester United in the final. Potentially, if they beat Crystal Palace, they'll win this, which is very important for their transition right now.
100%.
So these cups are actually very important. Agreed. Because the big teams are concentrating on other things.
Agreed. And now that England, for example, has like 6 very good teams, not all of them are going to be in the Champions League. Exactly. So Europa's going to get much better additions now, high quality additions.
So it's a very, very, I mean, Leicester winning the league is
just add to
that. It's crazy.
Last but not least, bigger than any of these cups, bigger than the Champions League sometimes, is the relegation fight. The fight to stay in the Premier League. It's a £150 million fight. It can be more important than the Champions League. So at this point, Sunderland pulled something completely out of the bag against Chelsea. Chelsea leading the game twice and Sunderland finishing it off winning 3-2 for valuable, valuable 3 points. Jermaine Defoe, bang in form, as Riche would have said.
Unbelievable.
He has had a great season. He has something like 16 goals
with
no one giving him the ball. Like, he's playing for Sunderland here. Yes. This is a great return.
I mean, firstly, there were two outstanding goals in this game.
Yeah.
The first one was
Kasri.
Yes.
Yep.
What a snapshot. That was unbelievable. Courtois, mm-hmm. no chance.
Yeah.
And obviously, the winning goal, Courtois, no chance. Off the chest, hit it one time. Absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, like, I think if I see a Chelsea fan, I'm going to punch him in the face. because I don't understand this team. This season has been shambolic.
It's like you can't understand it.
People talk about it. David Moyes. No, yeah. David Moyes can go to Chelsea and manage them right now, and is an upgrade on everything they've done this season.
After the Tottenham game, and then you see this against Sunderland. I mean, Tottenham fans must just be angry.
Like, I'm not even a Tottenham fan. I'm upset, and that's because the horse that I'm backing in this relegation race is Newcastle.
Yeah.
And Newcastle did themselves no favors whatsoever. I'm sorry, okay? Aston Villa are already relegated.
For weeks.
Why, in the name of God, can you not win this game?
Not just win, score a goal.
Like, why? Just
score a goal against the worst defense we've ever seen.
Oh.
Anyways, Lescott looked phenomenal out of nowhere. Mitrovic couldn't lob a keeper.
Mitrovic had not just the keeper. You know how in FIFA it's just you and the keeper and you press X and you pass the ball and score Barcelona style? He could have done that.
Yeah.
His lob was a disgrace.
Yeah.
He couldn't. Oh my God.
It was crazy. And the positive though here is seeing Benitez really emotionally invested in this. And I think if they do fail, or even if they stay in the league, I think 3 weeks earlier, you get Benitez 3 weeks earlier. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. I think mm-hmm. they waited a little too late. Because, was it McLaren?
Yeah.
Absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
So, 3 weeks earlier, and I think right now, they're not even in this fight. So, let's see what Benitez can do. And I think they should still... It's tough. Okay, let's put it this way. Sunderland have 35 points.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle have 34.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunderland have a game in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Norwich have 31 points. With a game in hand. Assuming Norwich wins, which they won't. Assuming they will, they'll be the same points as Newcastle. So right now, Sunderland, it's really in their hands. They're a point ahead with a game. And Newcastle plays Tottenham, so it's not a given.
Yeah, listen, Newcastle are going down. This game against Aston Villa, if they won this game, I would tell you that they'll stay up. Because momentum and also the Benitez factor. Listen, no matter whether they go down or not, that man has done brilliantly because they were already gone.
Yeah.
He brought them back up, and now they're gone again.
You know what? It didn't sink in until you said it right now. Newcastle are going down. Like, I almost, like, just tried to keep it in the back of my mind because I always thought they'll make it. But now, looking at this table and you saying that, yeah, I think they will go down.
They're going to go down. I think they'll get back up again the same way they did the last time they went down. But here's the thing. And again, for me, it's all about Rafa Benitez. I think Real Madrid sunk him, but this Newcastle period, I think, has raised them a little bit. Not to obviously Real Madrid levels, but this is my thought. And I don't think this will happen. This is why I think should happen. That man loves Liverpool, right? He's not going to Liverpool. But another team in Liverpool, Everton, has a manager who's crap and should leave.
Do you think if Newcastle go down,
you know, I think he could do it. There's less animosity in going from Everton to Liverpool and vice versa than, let's say, a Manchester United.
I'm going to say that's really hard. One, because Liverpool fans adore Benitez. They love him beyond thought. Like, people in the world don't like Benitez that much. Liverpool fans adore him. They absolutely love him.
Do you think they would hate him for it, though?
Because what else can he do?
It
would take a chip off that love for sure. I don't think he'd go to Everton. No chance.
I think the fact that he has a house that... I mean, I don't actually think this will happen, but if I'm Rafa Benitez and you offer me that job, the first thing I do is talk to some people at Liverpool and obviously make sure it's okay and try and do some PR work beforehand because he loves them and they love him.
Yeah.
We get that. But that's a better job than Newcastle.
Yeah.
They need a better manager and I think he wants to stay in the Premier League. He has a house there. Yeah. It could all make sense.
True. No,
and
agreed.
They have money now.
Agreed. Just before moving on from the Premier League here, Sunderland, though, are annoying because they go all season looking like they will definitely go down.
Yep.
They change manager. Mm-hmm. They win a Tyne derby.
Absolutely.
And then they look like Barcelona for 5 games.
Yep.
And they stay up and you rinse and repeat.
Yep.
That's it. It's been the same.
Sam will not be here by November of 2016.
Whenever the Tyne derby is set, he's not going to be here. I don't know how they do this every season. I mean, they could still go down, but this is the recipe for Sunderland for years.
This is why I want them to go down. Because I'm tired of this disgrace of a story that keeps going around.
I know. Anyways, I think if they do go down, anybody could sign Defoe as their second striker and they'd have a good guy on the bench to come in, poach a few goals. Almost a Hernandez kind of effect. End of games, last 20 minutes, something like that. You know, I think he'll be in high demand. All right. I think we've covered the Premier League quite well there. Let's move on to Moomoo of the Week.
Moomoo of the week.
Awesome. So, Moomoo of the week, we're gonna start with Real Madrid as a football club or Florentino Perez? Which one? Because we do Florentino Perez all the time.
I think this goes to Madrid.
All right. So, Real Madrid did a wonderful farewell ceremony, you know, with the tifos and speeches and probably a cocktail dinner the night before and a video montage for Alvaro Arbeloa, who has been a great servant for the club over the last 6 years or so. But here is the problem. They did this for Alvaro Arbeloa and not, say, Iker Casillas.
Yeah.
I think Iker Casillas' farewell was, oh, here's the door, bro.
Literally, and he cried at a press conference, and it was over. And you'd think Casillas would get more. This is the Mourinho effect. This is all Mourinho's fault. It's all Mourinho's fault. From when the relationship broke down with Mourinho, Casillas and Mourinho when he was there.
Right.
And from then on, Casillas was kind of a fringe player, and the fans there are plastic. They don't care, and they just forgot about him because he didn't play for a season and a half.
They, like, I mean, they probably were really, really respectful and happy for Arbeloa because he kind of put Piqué in his place on Twitter. Yep. This is the way football is now live on Twitter. If Iker Casillas had just said, shut the hell up, Piqué, on Twitter, or and people called him a savage or something, you know, and with the OG glasses and everything, he would have had a great farewell. But Arbeloa for the win.
Here's another theory. What if they're just really, really, really happy that Arbeloa is leaving? You never know.
What if it was Iker Casillas that funded the whole thing?
Yeah. You have to throw a party, Alvaro's then finally leaving. Anyways, here's another one I got. Sam Allardyce. He came out recently and said that he does transcendental meditation. And he's been doing it for 12 years now. And apparently it says, it's all about focusing the mind and chilling out. Does that sound like a description that Sam Allardyce would put on his dating website? Focus-minded and chilled out.
Let me ask you this. If you saw that as a girl on Tinder.
Yeah.
Wait, is it swipe right or left? I don't know.
Right is yes.
Okay, do you swipe right for transcendental
meditation
and chilling out?
If you're a super hipster, you swipe right a million times. You swipe times. Right?
Yeah. But with that face?
Hell no. So apparently, that's what is into now. And can you imagine somebody sitting in a room, legs crossed, going, Can you imagine that? Because I find that very hard. He says he's been doing it for 12 years. 12 years! And he says that he's recently been doing it more because of the stress from where they are in the table. I find that very hard to believe.
I'm trying to imagine Jermaine Defoe walking into the room like, boss, I gotta talk to you about my contract.
Yep.
Close the door slow.
Yeah, exactly. He's in Zen mode, Allardyce. Anyways, that I just thought that was quite funny. So let's talk Champions League. We did touch upon this a bit, but let's get the disgrace of a tie out of the way. The worst semifinal I've ever seen. Madrid beat City on aggregate 1-0 with an own goal to go through to the Champions League final.
I mean, the first leg was crappy, and then the second leg was crappy. And
you think it couldn't have gotten any worse.
No.
It was just as bad.
Yeah.
So like I said, own goal, nothing really happened. Zidane is in his Champions League final after 6 months in management. Well done. Like, it's just, you know,
if he wins this, does he have a Pep Guardiola moment?
Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. City, well done to them for getting past PSG. That was a good tie. They played really well there.
Mm-hmm.
PSG are definitely underperforming. But either way, City, well done to their highest ever Champions League position. That other one, which was the epic tie. It was way better. Atleti scraping through. I think, what, they lost 2-1, I think?
They lost 2-1, they won the first leg 1-0, so they went through on away goals.
Yes, so their away goals come back to haunt Bayern. So, I don't know, Atleti were really good, I thought. Griezmann's counter-attack goal was brilliant, but Bayern just should have done more.
See, the thing with Atleti is, I always... They're not. It's not like some teams where you wonder, just sure, they're great defensively, but will they score one? They will score at least one.
They will score
we
one.
We know that.
Yeah.
And we know that they are good enough defensively not to bottle it. Sure, they gave away two, but giving away two was fine as long as they scored one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about Atletico Madrid. They can contain the game
but
in
score.
Their favor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing when you have someone like Antoine Griezmann, for example. He scored 30 goals this season in all competitions, which, realistically, is not Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, even Luis Suarez numbers. Yeah. But if you look at it in the context of the number of goals Atletico Madrid it is absolutely fantastic.
As a percentage of the goals Atleti score,
it's absolutely fantastic.
It is fantastic. And to be fair, okay, so Simeone is doing a wonderful job. I love him to bits. I think he's fantastic. But people go, well, that's hypocrisy. You hate Mourinho, but you love Simeone. Why is that? And to me, the one big difference is that Simeone doesn't have, let's say, the best team in England and then parks the bus for half a season.
Sure.
Simeone sometimes, most of the time, does it out of necessity. He does it against the Barcas, the Madrids, the Bayerns. It's tough. You know, and sometimes it's necessary when you have a subpar team. Also, he lost a lot of good players in the summer, and he replaced them with fantastic players.
I'll say this one point, though, on that, is that Jose Mourinho had the Chelsea team that did not park the bus and score the record number of goals in the early times he was there.
Second half of
last season,
yes,
they were great. They were great, then they parked the bus. Real Madrid, he didn't park the bus unless it was Barcelona. Inter Milan, he didn't park the bus unless it was Champions League. So It's neither here nor there, but the difference between the two guys is that Atletico Madrid are not on any of those team levels that Mourinho did have.
Yeah.
Now, you can start to compare Simeone and Jose Mourinho when Simeone wins the Champions League with this team who are supposed to be the underdogs, which Mourinho has done two times, which I think this year they will do.
I mean, they have to. It would be a shame for the team that beat Barca and Bayern to get to the final to lose to a team that beat Wolfsburg and City. Absolutely. It would be such a shame because Barca and Bayern are the two clear, on their own favorites to win the Champions League this season. So for them to beat both and then lose to Madrid would be such a shame.
It'd be a shame in the same way last time that they played. It was a bit of a shame because were like a minute away from winning the whole thing, and it would have been a great story. And then Sergio Ramos and Gareth Bale took it away from them.
Here's the thing.
Could probably happen again, I don't think it will.
We were comparing Simeone and Mourinho, saying, you know, Simeone is still in the Champions League for the conversation. But to be fair, he's a 2-time finalist in 3 seasons with Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. That is big. I think that is big.
See, it's great. It's
like you're a minute away from winning. If he had won that one.
Here's my thing. For Simeone to be elevated to a certain level, right? This is great, but this is no greater right now than the Valencia team that went to back-to-back finals and lost them both.
Right.
It's not something that hasn't been done. I mean, it has been done, except that Valencia team was even better because they won the league, actually, a couple times. But still, they were absolute underdogs, and they lost twice. Simeone has to win this now because I think he's actually good enough to be in that level of manager.
Yeah, the top echelon, yes.
But he won't... He just needs to get over that hump.
Right.
But there's a flip side of this. And the flip side of this is... We alluded to it a little bit in our break when we're transitioning. But Pep Guardiola, this is a shame for him.
It is. Three semifinals in a row. I think for another manager, well done. Okay. But there's two factors here. One, you have Bayern, who are an absolute machine, and you know should be doing better. And two, it's the standards he set for himself.
Yep.
I was telling you in the break, if Ancelotti had taken Bayern 3 years ago, won 3 leagues, and got to 3 semifinals of the Champions League, people would be like, "Well done." No one would care. We wouldn't be talking about Ancelotti fail or pass.
Mm-hmm.
With Pep, because of his Barca time, because of everything around Pep, standards. It's hard to say whether it's a fail or not. I mean, 3 leagues is great. 3 semifinals is great for any manager.
There are two things at play. If you go into the league, which they've won now, right? Okay. You go into the league. Yes, it's a wonderful achievement, winning it 3 seasons in a row. And I think the first one with the huge points differential that he had, or was it the second one? I don't remember. But my problem with this is that coincides with Dortmund's fall. Because it's not the same level of Borussia Dortmund.
Oh, that season, no, for sure.
This season a little bit more. Credit to him for that. But we have to say that that's not the same level of competition that even Heinke has faced.
Right.
But then again, you go into the Champions League. You look at Real Madrid beat the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Which should not happen.
Yeah.
You have Barcelona. Who,
I give him that.
I don't know if they beat the hell out of him, but... They did a better job tactically.
I'll give Barcelona that one because they were the best team in the world by far, winning the treble, blah, blah, blah. But Atleti and Madrid should not be beating Pep's Bayern.
No.
In its semifinal.
I think the defending was naive. Obviously, Saul Niguez, his goal was amazing. Was amazing. But I still think he should be better than that.
Also, don't forget the Benfica game. They've scraped through Benfica.
The Juventus tie.
So they've scraped through. So
it's not a failure.
Yeah, okay.
It's maintaining the status quo for me. Well, actually, no, because they won the treble. Yeah. There's a lot left to be desired, and I really, really think that he needs to look in the mirror and kind of understand what he needs to do from here, because he had a miracle a bit for 4 years.
Yeah, he could have won 2 Champions Leagues in the last 3. He could have easily done it, the Real year and the Atleti year.
Yeah.
And this year. Anyways, so any quick predictions, Atleti, Madrid? Why do I have a bad feeling deep down in my stomach that Atleti are going to bottle this?
Thing is, I think that Atletico Madrid will win this only because I think it's fair.
Only because you want them to.
Well, no, I want Real Madrid to win.
Oh, yeah? Ronaldo, your boy.
But
okay.
I think in the interest of fairness, and I think, you know, things balance out in the world. So I don't think Real Madrid will do it twice. No.
I mean,
if it does happen, then that takes us to another conversation, which is Ballon d'Or's Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, definitely. Like, he wins the Champions League, he gets the ball, it's over.
There's no conversation around it.
No, it's over. But because Messi's not winning the Euros, which is the only thing that could kind of pep him over. And Ronaldo's not.
Barcelona this season, sure they win the league, but it's nothing.
Suarez, though.
Suarez is one. I don't know if we have time, but you've just brought up a very, very interesting discussion point here. Yeah. And let's try this, for the sake of it. So, if Real Madrid win the Champions League, Cristiano Ronaldo wins the Ballon d'Or easily, my opinion.
Yes.
If Atletico Madrid win it, I don't know if Antoine Griezmann wins it, but he becomes a very, very serious contender for
Here's the problem. You're taking that Ballon d'Or as a fair representation of seasons. It's not.
It's not.
It's a popularity contest.
Sure.
And Messi could still win it.
Yes, that's what
regardless.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Forget the popularity, because Griezmann has one more thing. Griezmann has one more thing that the others don't.
France.
He has France in the Euros.
Yes, sir.
And I think they could win this.
If France win the Euros and he has a good tournament, I think him and Suarez should be top in the top 3 for sure.
Because and that's kind of where I'm
going. So who drops out? Can he drop out Cristiano or Messi from the top 3?
That's the thing. Cristiano winning it is for me, obviously he's had a fantastic season, but that Champions League is very, very critical. And for Messi, I think the La Liga is not as critical, but the question is, do you leave out the best player in the world? Those two, for the first time in my opinion, it's on edge.
Let me show you why the Ballon d'Or, just from our conversation, isn't an actual representation. The Ballon d'Or is supposed to be a personal prize for personal performance.
Mm-hmm.
But we sat here and we said, is Messi going to win La Liga? And is Ronaldo going to win Champions League? And is Griezmann going to win the Euros? That just shows you, that's already a flaw in the prize.
Because if it's personal, then I think right now it has to go to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Sure.
I mean, he did win it before when he didn't win, but that was because it was truly outstanding. But this...
But stats-wise, then Suarez should win it.
That's the other thing.
That's the thing. Suarez killed the La Liga, but Cristiano killed the Champions League. That performance against Wolfsburg, back to if he wins it.
Exactly. It's just, I remember we were talking about Neymar winning it earlier around December time, but this is the first time that, for me, there's a possibility.
One of the two might drop
out. One of the two may not be in that top 3. I think there was a time when Xavi, Iniesta, and Messi were top 3, right?
But I think, again, that if it's in our hands, one of them will drop, but because of the way the votes happen and all that, and the popularity contest, they will both be in there. Griezmann will not break in there. It will be Messi, Ronaldo, Suarez in any order. These three, definitely.
Griezmann and Suarez is totally dependent on what happens in the Euros.
Right.
Because if France goes to the final or wins the Euros, then Griezmann gets into the
Here's a bit of racism. This just shows how unimportant the Copa America is compared to the Euros.
Did that happen?
Because the Copa America is happening.
Because
what if Messi wins the Copa America? What if Suarez does?
Is that one a serious?
There we go.
No, it's not just the Copa America. It's that this particular Copa America, there's no hype.
Yeah.
No one cares because the Copa America happened last year and that was the real one. This one is a little bit of sponsor bullshit.
What happens when Messi goes on and scores 7 and beats Maradona's Batistuta's all-time record for Argentina?
But does anyone care? And I don't mean it in the context of the Copa America as a whole. I'm talking about this specific,
this one is a
where
bit,
there's
yeah.
the United States,
yeah,
there's Mexico, there's probably Honduras.
This one's peasantry.
No one cares about this.
True. Anyways, all right, that was interesting. I'm actually quite excited to see how that pans out. Moving on to the other leagues really quickly. Juve, congratulations. 4-time champions in a row. Maybe even more, but I know they've won the last 4. Bayern, champions, like we said, 4 times in a row. Congratulations to them. So that was the complete domination by those teams in the last couple of years. Right now, quickly to Italy, there's a huge second place fight between Roma and Napoli. They're only 2 points. No, Napoli's 2 points ahead. They both won their game. Totti is on fire. Higuain is on fire. He has 33 goals. I don't know if he scored more while we were talking because they were playing. But he broke an all-time record since 58-59 that stood since back then. He's 2 goals away from the all-time Serie A record. He has had a phenomenal season. And it's quite interesting to see if Roma or Napoli. I mean, Roma still has a chance. Napoli loses the next game, Roma wins.
Obviously, I think we're biased towards Roma and Francesco Totti.
Definitely. He's been in great form.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But that's quite interesting. La Liga today was the penultimate match day. Mm-hmm. And Atleti dropped out of the race because they lost. So that was that. That's done. Barca won 5-0.
Imagine if Atleti won and then you talk about Griezmann.
I know, right? Madrid just 3-2 against Valencia. Mm-hmm. So it's still in Barca's hands, but Madrid are still...
I think Barca won 5-0, right, you said? And Ronaldo scored 2.
Yes.
Goals were really, really crucial because, like we said, Valencia scored the second and then they got the red card, as Riche said, that was a little bit ludicrous. And they were probably going to equalize. So it's going to be an interesting
I think next weekend is going to be so interesting in terms of Roma-Napoli. You've got the Barca-Madrid. You've got the City-United-Arsenal fourth place fight. I think it's going to be a great weekend for football.
Yep.
Just to tie it all off before we go into the Euro 2016. But what will not leave us is the MLS. That is still going on in the summer, which is great to have kind of that off-season football as well, as opposed to everything stopping. TFC had their home opener at BMO Field, the newly renovated again. They do it every year. BMO Field, a new roof, slightly it's upgraded the stands.
Really, really it nice.
Is. You see the lights? The lights coming off? Yeah, it looks so European.
Like when you're driving on the Gardiner downtown and you look and you see BMO Field, I actually think, wow, this is a football stadium.
It's growing. Because before it used to be like this peasantry little tin pot. But now it's like you get roofs. You get the archway that looks like Wembley.
It is beautiful. I like it.
They beat Dallas 1-0. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere was fantastic.
Electric.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Endo, their draft pick, scoring the goal from a Giovinco assist. Altidore, Bradley, and Giovinco all playing well. And I think we highlighted a few improvements from last year with TFC. One being Clint Irwin, their new keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Big upgrade on Bendik. Mm-hmm. He's looked assured. He gives them kind of that just assurance in defense.
The defense in general, Bertashore, Perkis is stepping up now. I mean, there's no Craval, which was my biggest pet peeve.
Jackson!
They're just a unit now.
Yeah.
And then, actually, Michael Bradley playing right in front of them seems to be a better use of his talents than asking him to create anything.
As the North American commentator like to say, that quarterback role.
Oh, I hate
they that. Love that. I really that hate Michael that. Bradley quarterback role.
No.
The other person that I thought is a great improvement who's currently playing next to Bradley is Will Johnson.
Yep.
They got him from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks solid. He's kind of taking over Shiru's position. And Shiru had a great season last year.
And Shiru still plays.
He still plays. Will Johnson looks quite solid. He does the right thing. He doesn't lose the ball. And he just keeps TFC ticking.
They've done something this season that I think is very, very important. And it's what we talked about briefly a while ago is they actually brought in MLS experience.
Mm.
Before, they were trying to bring in Khan, whatever, some French guy and guy and this guy. But you have to respect the local league and bring in people that actually kind of understand what they're doing here.
Agree.
Because it is different from any other place.
I agree. And I also think the one thing we asked them to do from last season is you've scored tons of goals.
Mm.
You have the MVP unequivocally of the league.
Yes.
Can you please shore up the defense?
I'm sorry. Can you say that part again?
Unequivocally, Giovinco is the MVP of this league.
So, final third. Yes. We enjoy our best. Friendship.
Yes.
We love you guys. But Castillo, don't talk to us about Castillo ever again.
Or Robbie Keane.
Maybe Robbie Keane I can accept, but still bow at the feet of Seba Giovinco.
And you have to bow really low.
Yes! Yes! And watch him do the motorcycle celebration. Because the way that he played yesterday, if you ever watch Castillo or Robbie Keane and then talk to me about anything again, we may have a Twitter war. I'm just saying.
I agree. Giovinco is by far the best thing I've seen in this league in a long, long time.
Ever!
Agreed. So we're going to see the game on the Wednesday. They're playing against NYFC, FC.
Yep.
Pirlo in town, Lampard in town, Villa in town.
Vieira in front on the bench.
Yes, quite excited about that. Before we move on the table really quickly, Montreal, the two Canadian teams on top of the table right now, Montreal with 15 points, TFC with 14, and Union with 13. Mm-hmm. Obviously, MLS, nobody's ever played the same amount of games, so forget about that. But these are the points. And it's looking like a good season for TFC, and I'm quite excited. I'm even more excited than last season.
Yep, same here.
So I guess we'll see you next week, tell you how all that goes.
Yep.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.